Do you know that feeling when everyone is talking about a movie that you haven't seen? Have you ever felt compelled to make some vague comments just so you can join in the conversation? Well, what if you were in too deep? Do you think you could convince everyone that you'd seen it? Or do you think your version would be so much better that no one would care? Here at Faking Movies, we're always the ones who haven't seen the movie.
Anything you can do better. I can do anything better than you.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can. Yes, I can.
Hey, welcome back, everyone. This is episode 10 of Faking Movies. I'm here with Zach.
Hey, guys.
And Seth, as always.
Hello.
And for episode 10, we decided to treat ourselves a little bit. We wanted to do something that we want to do for once, instead of forcing each other to watch long movies.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say, I mean, I'm enjoying the podcast thus far.
Yeah. But, oh, yeah, me too.
I mean, if you guys sneak another Jack Nicholson movie in there, I'm going to fucking quit for sure. It's over.
Little does he know. So this week we want to do something a little different. We wanted to try playing a game that we actually came up with while we were talking about the podcast initially, called Rom-Com Roulette.
Yep.
Wow. Yeah, that's what we're doing.
I just assumed someone was going to join in there, but
I just didn't have any banter to add.
Yeah.
Well, I guess it's pretty self-explanatory, except it's not. But
all right, it's all right. Everybody, get your roulette wheels out. Here we go.
So let's we'll go over the rules quickly here before we get started. Basic idea is we took three movies that we knew we'd never be able to do for the show because we had all seen them, and decided that we were going to challenge each other to turn them into rom-coms. So the game works like this: there will be three rounds. At the end of each round, there will be discussion about each person's rom-com, and we will decide who made the best movie. So, the way it'll work, the person who picked the movie we're talking about is going to go first, and they will have 90 seconds to create a rom-com using the title of the movie and a list of actors from that movie that they had picked. We're then going to move in alphabetical order down the line. Each of us will do their version of the same movie, and at the end, we score them. The best movie gets 3, the second best movie gets 2, and the worst gets 1. There's a little wrinkle. If it gets to be your turn, and someone before you basically did the same movie that you were planning on doing, you have to make one up on the spot, and if you freeze and can't come up with anything, you will get 0 points for the round. At the end of everything...
God have mercy on your soul.
Yeah, that just sounds like a nightmare.
I know. I don't think it's going to happen, but I like having that option of torturing each other thrown in there.
Yep. That's true. That's always a good plan.
Yeah, always. Yeah.
At the end of the three rounds, we'll add up the points. If there is a tie, which we don't expect will happen, the person who did not tie... We'll pick a movie at random, and the other two will have to make up a rom-com on the spot. Mm-hmm. It should be pretty fucked up.
Yeah, that is for sure. I hope in the background everybody can hear my neighbor mowing his lawn at like 7 o'clock, 7:30, like he does every 3 days.
You got to do it when it's cool out, so you don't have heat stroke.
It's true.
This guy. He just loves that lawn.
We got the podcast. He's got the lawn. It's to each their own.
Right. Makes sense. Well,
this is his. That's his joy. That's what he takes joy in.
Yep. Okay. So. So we decided to do the order as alphabetical. So Lee will go first with his first movie, and then I'll go with my movie, and then Zach will go with his.
Yep, and I think let's start with, so Lee, introduce yours and then read the actors.
Yeah,
and then we'll start the time for you.
All right. So I chose The Dark Knight, and the actors that I picked were Maggie Gyllenhaal, Michael Caine, Gary Oldman, Morgan Freeman, Christian Bale, Heath Ledger, and Aaron Eckhart.
That's a lot of people, dude.
Yeah, let me stop you right there. You picked one female character and a bunch of old fucking dudes, so thanks for that.
Hey, when's the last time you saw The Dark Knight?
It's been a while, I guess.
It has been a while, yeah.
Name another female character.
No, yeah, for sure, yeah. I'm on board. But yeah, I got like halfway through this actor list, and I was like, what do I do with these fucking old four dudes that are left? I got nothing.
Martha Wayne.
Sure, well, she's in a scene, yeah.
So I couldn't cut any of those old guys. I wanted all of them.
They're very famous, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay. All right, well, let me know when you guys are ready and put me on the clock.
Oh, I'd say jump in. We'll start on the first word.
Oh, okay. Man, we're being so precise about
this. Yeah. This is a sport now.
Okay. Maggie Gyllenhaal was raised by her three uncles, Michael Caine, Gary Oldman, and Morgan Freeman. For years, she's been a workaholic at the law firm that they're all partners at. Her secret is that she's always wanted a knight, someone tall, dark, and handsome to sweep her off her feet. They refuse to make her a partner until she goes out to see the world and finally has a life of her own. In a series of quick montages, we see that she has a fling with Heath Ledger in Australia, she meets Christian Bale in Wales, and Aaron Eckhart is a cowboy in the American Southwest. She comes home feeling more alive than ever, and she feels like she's ready for the job. But all three guys are waiting for her, and she has to choose which one she wants to be with. And the uncles all help. And in the end, Eckhart wins because you can pun on Dark Horse and Dark Knight, and also cowboys and knights ride horses, and he can ride into the office in the end of the movie on a horse and, like, sweep her off her feet and take her away. And that's The Dark Knight.
Okay. 1 minute even. Nailed it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I think you're confusing Maggie Gyllenhaal with either Kate Hudson or Katherine Heigl, but yeah, that's great.
You got to work with what you got, man.
That's true, yeah. I could really picture it, yeah.
Okay, Seth will go next for The Dark Knight.
Yeah, I sure will. I hope I can jam all of this super complicated story into 90 seconds.
Wow, really, really went for it, huh?
I did, all unfortunately.
Right. Cool. So you decided to do a very high concept rom-com. I love it.
Most of mine are high concept, unfortunately.
We're in space. What? No.
Fatal rom-com. Okay. All right, so Ledger is a scientist with the last name Knight, and his brother, who went into business, is Christian Bale. And they're like grad students, or Ledger is a grad student. Ledger's advisor is Michael Caine. Aaron Eckhart is another astronomer whose advisor is Gary Oldman, but they're willing to sell out, so you know they're evil. And Maggie G is Clarabelle Dark, who works in a different lab at a different university, and her advisor is Morgan Freeman. All three are working looking at sort of the same research, like self-organizing organic structures in space, some kind of panspermia, meteorites and things. But anyway, they're all competing, and Bale thinks that Ledger should quit academia and come to business, so he works to undermine his own brother by paying Eckhart and Oldman to do research and have way more resources and whatnot. Maggie is working on the same thing, and Ledger are both like, oh no, we're losing ground to these rich assholes. Maybe we should collaborate. And they collaborate in more ways than one. Mm. And then there's like a second act falling out, and then a third act getting back together.
That was the first act?
Yeah. And then they make some amazing discoveries, and it ends up being called, you guessed it, the Dark Knight Phenomenon.
All right, 120. Okay. You really... hit the gas there on second and third acts. That was a good 7 seconds worth, I think.
I think we should also point out that once someone hits a minute 20, we're going to be just real big assholes to them.
Yeah. Just shouting. Yeah.
Yeah, there's gonna be some loudness.
Yeah. Alright, so I find myself, while you guys are talking, I'm like, both excited and watching the clock and then going, oh shit, I have to remember what they're saying at the same time. Like, ugh, it's tough.
Well, I feel like when we get to the general group talk and after you do yours, we can remind each other.
Yeah, we can ask questions.
We're gonna subvert the whole game and then give 5 minute synopses and then during that portion,
yep.
I think.
Yep.
Just fuck the time limit. We're going deep on this one.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Strap in, audience. This is gonna be a 3 hour podcast. Yeah.
All right. Are you ready, right, Zach?
I am, I think, ready. How fast can I read? Here we go. Okay. So Heath Ledger is the star of the local Medieval Times situation. A, quote, tall, dark, and handsome actor. Lee said exactly the same thing. He's the apple of all the girls' eyes, the Dark Knight, if you will. Maggie Gyllenhaal is the main character in this movie. The most popular and best-looking waitress. And she pines after Heath Ledger endlessly, but to no avail. No matter what she does, he doesn't seem to notice her. This makes up about half the movie. At the turn, she's at her lowest. Even sleeps with Christian Bale, the sleazy owner of Medieval Times, in a misguided attempt to make Heath jealous. At her wit's end, she's having dinner with her confusingly old two gay dads, Morgan Freeman and Michael Caine. And Morgan goes, honey, I thought it was plainly obvious. Y'all batting for the same team. Flashback montage, tons of moments when Heath is obviously flirting with Aaron Eckhart, the White Knight, even dancing with him at one of the drunken parties they have after all the long nights of slinging turkey legs and jousting. In hindsight, it's plainly obvious to her that he's obviously gay. She feels very foolish. Gary Oldman, the incredibly endearing kind manager, was there all along, and he comforts her in this, her moment of peak embarrassment. She realizes he was always there for her, and actually the kind of guy she wanted anyway, so they end up the credit sequence is the wedding.
Oh no!
Heath and Aaron, man of honor and the best man, respectively. It's a modern medieval tale.
That's a great movie, Zach.
1:30.
Oh, it is hard to read fast. Shit.
I assume that your, like, loud noise, Lee, was just the time limit.
No, that was 10 seconds left.
Whoops.
Yeah. No, I mean, that was a part of the game, I think, yeah.
So Maggie and Gary Oldman end up together in yours?
Yep. As I said during the yelling, at their wedding, Heath and Aaron are the man of honor and best man, respectively.
Uh-huh. That's beautiful. Sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Isn't that the plot to the Call Me Maybe music video?
I mean, I can't tell you offhand, but that sounds awesome if it is.
Yeah, I mean, not exactly, but...
I'd give that 3 points, personally. Yeah.
Okay, so
yeah, where do we break
into
in?
Right, let's go in the same order. Let's start with Lee's and discuss. Seth, what do you think? Can you remember Lee's?
Not super well, so...
Law firm.
Give me some keywords.
Competing boys.
Yeah, law firm.
Oh, yeah.
Geographically competing boys.
Yeah, there's an Australian, a Welshman, and a cowboy.
Yep.
It is probably the most rom-com-y of the three, I reckon.
It does definitely feel like, I feel like I've seen this movie, I just can't place a name to it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it seems like half of the plots of Love Actually just kind of jammed together.
Love Actually, notable good movie. Yes, we're all in agreement. Let's not discuss it.
You got the like runaway bride horse riding scene mixed in with Officer and a Gentleman, Take Her Away kind of thing.
Yeah, a horse in a rom-com is like bonus points for sure. Yeah,
that's true.
Yep,
you do have that going. What did you think, Zach?
Yeah, it seems pretty good. Like, I think this would flow well as a movie, so if you do, like, different sequences, you know, 20 minutes in Australia, or whatever, like, that's always kind of fun. It keeps the audience interested.
Yeah, like an Eat, Pray, Love sort of, like, shifting around.
Yeah, we got that Gilbert money coming in.
There you go.
Do we?
She's lovely. I've heard her on podcasts. She's a very nice person.
I would also like to, by way of defending mine, I didn't talk a lot about the three amazing uncles that she has, but you know they're going to get down to some shenanigans.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so you shoehorned in the old people, the many old males, in a similar
pretty,
way
to
me.
Pretty well, yeah.
I was like, what do I do with all the... Oh, gay dads, that'll work. Okay.
Yep. Gay dads, advisors, whatever.
Yeah. Typically male roles, I guess, historically.
Unfortunately.
I like Lee's, and you gave the win to the underdog, right? The dark horse, as it were?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So that's always a good touch for a rom-com, certainly.
Yeah. Solid.
Yeah. All right. So we vote at the end, I guess? Let's talk about
Seth.
Yeah.
We're going to vote at the end.
Talk each one in sequence.
All right, Lee, what'd you think about Seth?
So, I think...
So it's an academic circle jerk.
Right.
Like, I mean, and we're all on board for that, obviously.
Is this a good time to count up the degrees in this room right now?
It's a couple century, yeah.
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 It's north of 5?
Yeah, it's well north of 5. Yeah.
I think we're at like 8 or so, yeah.
Yeah.
Despite the usual shenanigans, we're allegedly smart people.
Yeah, let's not get ahead of ourselves.
But you write what you know. And as has been discussed, I'm still in school.
Yeah, true. So the only issue I really had with it, because, you know, I'm loving the night and dark combo by the end. That's
names.
That's what I that's what I'm paying for if I'm going to see the rom-com. The thing that my only complaint was I think we got a little bogged down in the science of it, and I don't think that plays in Peoria, Seth. I really don't.
We're losing the red states. Oh, God. Oh, God.
Oh, no. Talking about panspermia and... Yeah. I had more science notes on
I know you did. Yeah.
You got very specific with the actual science. And again, like, I think what Lee is saying, like, I was very much enjoying that, but yeah, Peoria maybe not so much, yeah.
Why is Peoria our default, like, bumpkin city?
It's got to be a joke from something that we've all watched.
Presumably.
Yeah, you're probably right.
I guess what I'm saying is I wanted more of, like, let's see some conniving from the sellout scientists. Let's see
I mean, I only had 90 seconds, Lee.
Well, like, I'm just trying to think, like, in my head... Can the trailer for this movie support that song Crush? You know?
Yeah.
It's just a little crush. And the end of your of your 90 seconds totally does. But the first half I was having trouble with.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah. I notably am not very good at writing rom-coms. So
no, I thought it was pretty good.
Good.
You can turn that around and make it sort of a non-traditional thing. Like, you don't get academic rom-coms ever, I don't think so.
Like Arrival.
Oh,
not really a rom-com.
Really a rom-com, but yeah.
Oh, you don't think?
It was masquerading as an academic movie.
The Septa whatever aliens, or the lady didn't have like a thing.
The aliens fuck for sure. Mm-hmm. For sure. Mm-hmm. But
yeah.
Yeah.
Some weird kinky shit.
They got that.
Well, you can't tell because they
that do it vapor transfer, way. You know?
Yeah.
Vapor transfer, exactly.
Yeah. It's called smoke balling.
I read about that on Tumblr. Yeah.
Jesus.
Yep.
Ugh. Let's not explain that one either.
No, never. Okay, Seth. Let's talk about Zach's.
Okay.
Medieval times. God.
Is it on the nose or is it perfect? I couldn't decide.
I thought it was pretty pleased.
Really great. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. I I was a little annoyed at the beginning that it was just going straight for the night angle, but you turned it around on me, so kudos.
We zagged for sure. Yeah.
The only thing that I didn't absolutely love about it was Gary Oldman being the person she ends up with, but I feel like the only thing you can do is switch Gary Oldman and Christian Bale's character to change that up. And, you know, like, is that even better?
Right. So Heath had to fall in love with somebody, age appropriate, as did Maggie. And there's only one other person. Like, Eckhart is vaguely, like, 20 years older than them. So,
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's a rough cast to work in an age appropriate manner.
Yeah, a little bit, a little bit. Yeah.
Okay, I think honestly that Zach is my winner.
Yeah, I agree.
Ooh. Oh, you're too kind. Too kind.
Yeah, I think Zach is the number one, because it's I would have the most fun watching it. There's a lot of like cheap laughs and not cheap laughs that I could see happening.
Yeah. It definitely it fulfills all the tropes and like does some very interesting things.
It's got a great setting too. Just yeah.
If it gets boring, you can just do some actual jousting at some point, and yeah.
Oh, there's gonna be a joust.
At least one, probably several.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah. Ledger already kind of did that, but
he did. I had considered that as well. Yeah.
I was thinking that a little bit, but you know, that movie's not good. I'm not gonna let that weigh him down.
No. Yeah. That's fair.
He wanted to do his night movie right this time.
Yeah. The reprise. Yeah.
It's like A Knight's Tale. And Brokeback Mountain got together and made a rom-com.
Well, yeah, I guess they did.
Sure, yeah. Yeah.
The unholy love child of A Knight's Tale and Brokeback Mountain.
That's the IMDb synopsis. You guys got
it. And there's a Gyllenhaal in
two of them, so. There you go.
There you go. Process, yeah. Yep.
Okay, so who's getting the sloppy seconds?
I don't know, so that's really tough. I think... I guess while I like Seth's version of the thing, I think like Lee maybe fleshed out like the complete movie a bit more.
Yeah.
I feel like again, it seems like a Katherine Heigl movie, which like I'll watch on USA at least twice in a row on a Sunday for sure.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, I wasn't going to break any barriers. I'll put that.
Yeah.
We're doing rom-coms. You can't. There's no such thing.
Within the rom-com, you know, mood. I'll give it to Lee.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, so
cool.
Got Zach at 3, Lee at 2, Seth at 1.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. So my movie.
I know you think you got this one in the bag, but I think I'm gonna get you.
Mine is so convoluted. This one is even more rough than the last one.
Excellent.
But. My movie was The Iron Giant.
A live-action movie, yep. Excellent choice.
We've had discussions about this already where we think we're going to stay away from animated movies just because you can't really peg down what a character is going to be like. But for this game, it doesn't matter because this doesn't have to be animated. Yeah.
We're going only for the actors themselves, so you can make it whatever you want. Yeah.
Because this is a great rom-com cast.
It sure is.
It really is.
Yeah.
So the actors and actresses that I have are Jennifer Aniston, Harry Connick Jr., Vin Diesel, Cloris Leachman, Christopher McDonald, and John Mahoney.
Hey, you got two ladies in there, so great job.
Hey.
Yeah.
100% more game. Ladies.
Doing a little better.
There is a lot of range in there, too. Like, there's a lot going on in that couple of people. Yeah.
Yeah, there sure are. Oh, boy. Okay. All right. You guys ready to hear my thing?
Yep. Have at it.
Bring it on.
So, this is a period piece that takes place during World War I. Mm. Harry Connick Jr. and Vin Diesel are soldiers on the French side of the war.
Oh, I could see that.
Jennifer Aniston and her mother, Cloris Leachman, live in Paris during the bombardment and are just trying to scrape by, like, living through the war zone. And they're constantly helped by a kindly John Mahoney. Christopher McDonald is the German or Austro-Hungarian or whatever, like, mid-level commander during the bombardment. So... Harry and Vin are doing just the worst French accents. Everyone is doing the worst accents. And they meet Aniston during a trip to the city after a long stint fighting in the trenches. The entire time, they are talking about a fabled new super weapon called the Iron Giant, which is just, you know, one of the Paris guns. There are like 6 or 7 of them, I don't remember. And how they are on a mission to destroy one in particular, the one commanded by McDonald. The boys both fall in love with Aniston, of course, and they're on a mission and one is killed, I don't really care which one, and they destroy the cannon. And then the other meets Aniston at the Eiffel Tower, and they say a line like, "Isn't the Iron Giant beautiful tonight?" And with a tear for his lost friend, the surviving dude is like, "This one certainly is," and they kiss.
Not bad. Okay, nice. That was 1:15. Yet again, your trajectory is like slow burn, finish the movie. You surprise me every time.
You know, I like a good period piece. I don't know why it didn't dawn on me that any of these could be period pieces.
Oh, yeah. No, not even close. Yep, agreed.
I mean, maybe... makes sense. I have one that... a little bit, but yeah. No, yeah, that's... Right. That, I think that was a good call. That's what makes you really stand out in this business.
It's true. Yeah, I mean, I was thinking, you know, Notebook or whatever. Mm-hmm. Ah. Those things, right? Anyway, so Zach is next.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let me get my speed reading mindset going.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to actually I'm getting on this timer, baby.
Oh, boy. Okay. All right. Vin Diesel is a hulking, iron-pumping bodybuilder dating Jennifer Aniston. Not a terribly sympathetic character to start. He's at the top of his game when suddenly he's crippled in a car accident. Maybe even a Tokyo drifting accident? Probably not. Where Harry Connick Jr. and Jen-Ann are in the other car. In the hospital, he finds out that they were having an affair, and no one comes to see him. So while he might be a giant with the iron, he's a nobody in real life. Cloris Leachman, John Mahoney, his parents, nurse him back to health, as he hopes to regain some semblance of this life that he previously had. He goes through physical therapy alongside Chris McDonald, a man wise beyond his years, and despite his inability to walk or do all the things that were previously his main source of pride and happiness, he finds a way to be satisfied with life, all sort of led by Chris. Aniston comes back to visit him late in the recovery period, opening up about just how awful he was, but finds his new outlook and demeanor sort of exactly what he wanted all along. So Vin agrees that he was horrible to her, and they patch things up. The final scene is 10 years later, them with kids, Vin still in the wheelchair, but them all playing basketball in the driveway of their presumed house. Very touching on many levels.
Okay.
Oh, all right.
That was that was sweeter than I expected.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This, I will admit, this is my first one. Not my strongest effort. This is the one I wrote first, so, yeah.
Hey, this is the one I wrote first as well. Yeah.
This is the one that I wrote first also.
Guys!
Oh my god!
Yeah, I think I started here because, again, the cast is, like, really wide. Like, you can do a bunch.
It's so perfect for what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
All right, Lee, let's hear your groundbreaking, amazing thing you've been bragging about for a week.
Big pile of bullshit. Yeah.
Bring it on home, boys. All right.
Zach, you got that timer?
Oh, I'm on it. I'm on it.
Okay, good.
The Iron Giant. The Iron Giant is a dildo. Jennifer Aniston is unlucky in love. Harry Connick Jr. is her gay best friend. Christer McDonald is the safe bet who's secretly a real dick. John Mahoney is her mean boss at the ad agency. Cloris Leachman is her goofy and wise grandmother who raised her and encourages her to follow her dreams and, like, start up that bakery or something. And Vin Diesel... and Vin Diesel is the bad boy, probably a mechanic, who almost everyone thinks is wrong for her, but he's the only one that can make her forget about the Iron Giant.
That's it?
That's it.
38 seconds? Oh my god, amazing. I mean, Lee wins, obviously. Like, that's...
What? Hey! No.
Okay, well, commercial success would be extremely low on this movie.
Mm-hmm. Oh, this is like a Sundance film. Like, it's an indie darling. Sure.
Yeah, this is like a Vincent Gallo makes a comedy, and everybody's like, I don't know what's happening, but it might be good. I don't know.
No, like, this is... I can see, like, the trailer for this being, like, a super 90s-era trailer where there's, like, fucking Presidents of the United States are playing in it, in the and then, like, at the end, it just fades up with the Iron Giant on the screen, and it's like, what's the Iron Giant? That has nothing to do with the, oh, it's her dildo.
Oh, opening yeah, I was going to say, because, yeah... If the central premise of your movie, the titular thing, is a dildo, I don't know how you cut a trailer for this.
Yeah. You know, Lee, I actually did have a similar idea and scrubbed it.
Ooh, curious.
So, I was trying to think of objects that could be considered Iron Giants, and so, like, I ended up with the Eiffel Tower and, you know, a cannon that can shoot 130 kilometers.
Oh, okay.
But also thought about dildos for a while, so...
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, you guys are right. Like, they do make dildos out of iron, historically.
I mean, so famously, I am a Steely Dan fan, and that is another dildo.
Oh, is it really? That's fantastic.
Steely Dan is the name of a dildo in Naked Lunch. And that was the inspiration. Right. That's when I'm up on the podium accepting my award. I'm gonna thank Donald Fagen and Walter Becker.
To no one's great surprise, apparently. Mm-hmm.
All right, so let's talk about these here.
Yeah. All right. So start with sets.
Yeah.
What do you think, Lee?
I liked it. I liked the idea of doing a period piece. It had that bittersweet stuff. It kind of reminded me. There was a Sandra Bullock, Chris O'Donnell, World War One romance movie back in the day.
Was there?
Huh.
I don't remember that.
It was based on Hemingway, loosely, O'Donnell was like a Hemingway kind of guy.
So it
made me think of that, and that movie had like an all-time trailer, like for quality of trailer versus quality of movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like that was the kind of trailer that we got in the 90s, where they tricked you into seeing movies.
Yeah, that's true. But I
like your time period. I like the roles everyone's playing. Yeah, I thought it was good.
Yeah. So I guess, I mean, I too think that I would definitely see this movie. I think, if anything, like, half of rom-com is calm, right? And it may be a little
lacking. Oh, yeah, it's pretty drama-y.
Yeah. It's a rom-drom? Is that the...
I guess that's true.
Yeah, I guess it is.
Yeah.
I just don't understand the genre, apparently.
but I think it did sound like an actually good movie, I would say, so, yeah.
Ha-ha!
Fooled you!
All right, Seth, what did you think about Zach's?
Wait, what are the
Vin Diesel
points?
In a wheelchair.
Vin Diesel bodybuilder.
It was a lot sweeter, which was already said.
I think we may run into that same issue, though, where it wasn't much of a calm.
Yeah, that's fair.
Mm-hmm. I guess just iron things can't be comedic.
I think Vin Diesel mostly can't. I mean, we've all seen The Pacifier, right?
I liked it.
Yeah, I mean, wasn't he
in like a movie where he was like a CIA agent or something that was also a comedy?
Think you're describing The Pacifier?
Yeah, because he's a government agent who like has to take care of kids.
No. This is one where he has maybe I'm thinking of Rock the Dwayne Johnson. Never mind.
Rock the Dwayne, of course.
All right. Sorry, that's on me. I mixed up Vin Diesel and Rock the Dwayne Johnson.
That's an understandable confusion.
Yeah, but there's that great comedy Vin Diesel was in, Pitch Black.
Yeah, lot of goofs in that one. Uh-huh. It's really good. And the sequels, yeah.
the three Riddick sequels?
Yeah, that they named weird, so I didn't realize there were sequels until like recently.
I was shocked that I knew that they did the first one. I had no idea there was another one, though.
Yeah.
There's at least one more. Yeah. And they're his like passion projects, I think, right? Because he's like a D&D weirdo, like deep down. Yeah.
Yeah, no, he really loves that character for some reason.
Yeah.
Well, and he like was very hands on when they made the video game for the Chronicles of Riddick, which is apparently a really good video game.
What?
Surprise. Okay.
Hmm.
So he's into it. Well, anyway, Zach, like I like your story was sweet. It had that like little redemption. I could see like a Kiss in the Rain happening.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a little generic, honestly. Yeah, it's whatever. Yeah. Yeah.
Again, that's
it's part of the point. Of yeah.
It is. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It is. So Lee's, I mean, I guess we talked about it a bit already. I mean, bonus points for time. You laid the whole thing out in a good 38 seconds there.
I don't know. It's to me it's too like overtly sexual,
so more towards the
this
American
is like
Pie kind of
this is like a teenage sex comedy more so than a rom-com to me,
so we all miss the genre by like a bit on this one.
I think you guys are getting weighed down by the fact that I named my movie after a dildo. Like it's about
it's actually very romantic.
It's about her interactions with the people she works with and her grandmother and this like This charming bad boy, you know?
So
with a big fucking rock hard dick.
Yeah, exactly. Are we just going to ignore the fact that, like, the first meeting in, with the studio in this, they're like, we love it, it's great, it's going to be American Pie, the next thing, but you absolutely cannot name it The Iron Giant. There's no fucking way you can name this movie after the dildo.
I get Final Cut, points on the back end, and merchandising. We are going to sell a shitload of dildos. Okay.
Yeah. And as you said, it's going to be an indie darling. There's going to be Shins playing all over the place.
Oh,
it's,
yeah. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
So many Chins albums.
People are just going to throw them at the screen at midnight showings.
Oh, 40 years from now, it'll be Rocky Horror. Yeah,
yeah.
That's going to be great. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, well, so I'm willing to throw out, I think I want Seth on the win for this one, maybe? Lee, how do you feel about that?
I definitely, because, you know, in my head, I've only been ranking, like, the other two.
Yeah, that's the problem with three.
Yeah. I think I go for Seth's. Just I think it's a better movie.
Yeah, I think he made like a more watchable movie than either of us. Yeah. Yeah. Despite all of our genre missteps. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's fair.
All right. Cool.
Yeah.
All right. For again, sloppy seconds.
I feel like Seth has to pick which one.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I was fully waiting for him to do that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. Because they seem pretty even to me. I mean, they both follow...
If it helps, I mean, let's give it to the dildo movie, obviously, right? Like
advantage dildo?
Yeah, I'm willing to concede on that one, yeah.
This is the nuclear option right. for this game all that right. we just discovered.
Yeah.
And,
yeah, I think so.
There we go, advantage dildo. All right. I guess Lee's got it.
Well, with that...
This does put us in a three-way tie.
Three-way tie, yeah.
Yep. Though, however, we have one left, which means we cannot... get a tie on the final.
Yeah.
So that's good.
Oh, true. Yeah. Okay. So someone will win.
Yeah.
Someone will win.
Thank God we talked about this and planned it ahead of time. This worked out so well.
Well, Zach, do you want to introduce the movie that you brought to the table?
Oh, absolutely. I'm a little nervous to read it because it's definitely the biggest chunk of text on the screen right now.
Yeah, me too. This is my longest one.
No, this is my shortest one by far.
Oh, good. Well, I expect a dildo then. So.
Isn't that ironic? The shortest one reminds you of dildos.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, motion of the ocean. all right. So, my movie, I went through a couple and I ended up on Scream, mm-hmm. which is quite a classic and I think bizarre for this kind of game. So the actors were Drew Barrymore, Neve Campbell, Courtney Cox, David Arquette, Liev Schreiber, and Matty Lillard, the star of that movie as far as I'm concerned.
A man so notably, we all know and love.
Yeah, notably y'all welcome because that's three men and three women. So
yeah, mm-hmm. So we've steadily increased the percentage.
Yes.
of, you know, the... larger side of our population.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's like okay. actual representation in film.
That's crazy.
Yeah,
only we did a better job of it.
Mm. Yeah. All right. I'll just preface this with apologies for trying to read very fast. So.
All right.
Yep. Micro Machines, man. Do it that way.
Sure. All right. We start at a couple's retreat where everybody comes because they have problems in their relationships. Mm-hmm. This is a non-traditional sort of therapy where screaming at each other is encouraged. You just have to get it out before all the healing can happen. So this batch of people is particularly rough, however, and little progress is made initially. Barrymore and Arquette have five kids, and at the end of their proverbial ropes, their lives are falling apart, and this is a last-ditch effort to save the whole thing. Liev Schreiber and Courtney Cox are both career-oriented, and they're in a relationship of convenience more than anything. Been together for 20 years, but to little enjoyment from either party. Nev and Maddie are there because Matt was cheating on her for the last 3 years and wants to make amends, but Nev can't forgive him. Mm-hmm. One night, they all get to drinking and commiserating that they're actually just all unhappy and this weird therapy thing isn't helping. As they get more drunk, they decide they might as well get something out of it, and they decide they're all just going to fuck. Why? Doesn't matter. We're just doing it. So they do, and then they all sort of pass out, and they wake up, and when inhibitions aren't quite as lowered, things get very awkward, and they still don't seem happy. Everyone's very contemplative. as the week wears on, it becomes clear that these people are actually with the wrong partners. The sexual romp sort of opens everyone's eyes. All six people miraculously simultaneously decide they're better off with other people, and they pair off in some new arbitrary permutation. The writers make this work, showing why the people are better than new people.
Ten.
The last scene is three cars pulling out of the retreat, now with their new matchups, and everyone screams out the window as a gesture of solidarity.
Oh, woo. 129, Zach.
Oh, boy.
Oh.
I feel lightheaded. That was really something. I need to sit down, lay down for a second.
Oh boy.
I was into that. I'll give you.
Yeah.
I'll tip my hat.
Yeah, I tried to go like as weird as possible on that one. I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. So that's Lee next, and then Seth last, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The scream is a dildo. No, I'm just joking. That's not how that
works. Oh, I gotta reset the clock. Yeah. Shit. 1 second.
End of story.
Yeah. Okay, I'll actually
start. Wait. Lee, are you just doing commercials for the dildo company you're starting?
You mean, we actually did used to have a joke about an all-natural cat dildo company we were going to start.
Oh, man, we sure did, didn't
and it was all very upsetting.
This is quite upsetting.
Yep. It gets worse.
All right.
Okay. Yeah, that's just scratching the surface.
Yeah, we might have to edit this part out.
Cat scratching the surface.
Oh,
yeah.
I got that fever.
Yeah, and we're at the Nuge again. God damn it.
It always comes back to Nuge.
Somehow, some way.
Okay.
Anyway.
All right.
Compose yourself.
Yes. Ooh. Okay. We hear a scream. Nev Campbell discovers Drew Barrymore, who is in Old Face. It was Nev Campbell's grandmother. She's dead. She had a heart attack. After the funeral, Nev Campbell, her husband, Matthew Lillard, Nev's brother, who is played by David Arquette, and his wife, Courtney Cox, find their grandmother's diary. They spend the movie reading about her fling with this exciting and mysterious man, and we see it played in flashbacks by Liev Schreiber. There's like some sufficiently goofy and fun stuff happening, so it stays a rom-com and doesn't become like too sexy. We intercut this with the group mourning and partying the pain away, doing all kinds of fun couple stuff. The crew can't believe how free-spirited their grandmother was and wants to know who this mystery man could have been. Eventually, we get to the final line of the diary, which is being read out loud. And it's, I had never screamed so loud or had as much fun as I did that day with. And they all turn around and they see Liev Schreiber, who is also in Old Face now. And he's standing behind them, mouthing along to the quote. It turned out that the mystery man was their grandfather. He used to be really cool. And they have, like, a nice moment where they just reminisce about Grandma and how much they miss her and love her.
Aw, that's very touching.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So it's called Scream because it starts with the scream.
Yeah.
Sure. And ends with the scream. Well, it doesn't quite end with the scream, but it's a scream and an epilogue.
My first question, do we pronounce it Shriver or Schreiber?
I think it's Ray Donovan.
Right, you're right, Yeah. God damn it, that show's really good.
I've never watched
it. Oh, I like it a lot. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, that seemed good.
Oof. Oh, boy, that's a hard one to compete with.
You gotta get the dual Old Face going. That's the secret.
Yeah,
very,
no,
very key.
It is, and I enjoy how it started with death.
yep. Like all rom-comedies.
La petite mort.
Oh yeah, hey. And le grand mort.
Uh-huh.
And le grand mort.
Oh,
for gran. Oh my God, we're doing it. We're really doing it.
Doing it for gran.
Oh, for gran. Yeah.
Oh, boy.
A joke no one understands.
Okay. Oh, we are really garbage humans.
Yeah, this is really one for us. This is
unlistenable.
Yeah. Here goes all the subscribers. But hey, remember when we said, did it for us.
Oh yeah, remember when we said we were doing something special for the audience this time?
We were wrong. Yeah.
This is entirely for us. Yeah.
Okay, are you guys ready for my version?
Mm-hmm.
Go for it.
But first, before I begin, My title is actually S apostrophe C R E A M.
Okay, hold on.
Cream?
Is it
cream?
S cream, or is it like spelled out? Oh, this is no good. This is no good at all. Oh, dear. Oh,
you don't dear. You dare cut this. Don't you dare cut this.
Here's the reviews for this episode. It was great, except for that 30 seconds of laughing at, like, nothing in the middle.
Oh, my stomach hurts.
So yours is definitely got to be ice cream centric, right?
No, it isn't, in fact.
Oh. Wait, but so do we pronounce this S cream, or is it just all the letters?
It's more like you kind of need a pronoun before it, so it's like, oh, it's scream.
God damn it. Okay, fine. Whatever.
How did you both win and lose in such a short span of time?
Oh, man. All right.
Good luck.
All right, y'all ready for this?
Yeah.
Okay. So, all six characters are in culinary school and are battling to see whose cooking remains supreme. there are a large number of different contests a la Iron Chef. There are, like, some where they have to be partners, and of course all the partners fall in love or some garbage. And the final contest, any character whatsoever can go against any other character, and whoever the winner is will be asked by the second place person, who is either their boyfriend or girlfriend at the time, what makes your cooking so good? Scream. And they'll be like, we'll arbitrarily choose a character and have them using, like, way too much cream all the time, but it's, like, magic cream made of LSD or something, and that's who won.
Wait, that's it? Okay, that was 43 seconds.
Yeah. Not the shortest one.
Amazingly. No. Oh my god.
Scream.
Wow. Scream, roll credits.
Does this movie take place in the wet, hot American summer universe? Because it's the only way it works. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Well, yeah, but... Paul Rudd's not in this movie. I don't understand. Oh, my God. Oh. So wait, this is like the greatest joke ever pulled, because it's supposed to be a feature-length movie, but it's actually like 28 minutes long.
Oh, it's like an episode of Iron Chef, so it's like 50.
Oh, okay. Mm. Oh, man.
Right.
There's a lot of potential there.
Notably not feature length, though. So.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, so it's like two episodes of Iron Chef. What do you want from me?
Okay.
Oh, boy. Okay. All right.
All right, so cards on the table. Mm-hmm. I wrote that like 5 minutes before we started.
Wouldn't have guessed.
Also... Okay. Like, I had thought of a lot of ideas. I was trying to associate other words with, or, like, other things with Scream, other than a horror movie.
Yeah.
And, like, I avoided the overtly sexual one.
Mm-hmm. That's where I thought you were going, certainly, yeah.
Yeah, naturally. Yeah. And then I thought roller coasters, and I thought about, like, screaming babies on an airplane, and, yeah.
Ooh, but, I could have gotten down with a movie where a bunch of, like, theme park enthusiasts fall in love on a roller coaster.
Yeah, that was actually my first plan.
Oh, and you would have won if that happened.
That's also really hard to turn into a feature-length movie, though. Mm-hmm. Like,
I don't know, because, like...
Well, but you have, like, Adventureland and...
Yeah, oh, that's true. I was thinking literally on a roller coaster. Like, do they get stuck?
Well,
the whole thing isn't on the roller coaster.
No, but you can have, like, a bunch of horny... 30-somethings playing teenagers, having myriad summer romances.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, finger banging on the tilt-a-whirl.
Yep. Yeah. Or if we don't... on the tilt-a-whirl?
As you do.
Oh, that would be so violent. God,
yeah. That's all. Everybody went to the hospital.
Why is that your default?
Like, No, like, you can also...
The infirmary, the Hershey Park infirmary is loaded to the gills.
You could also do, you could go the non-horny route and make them actual adults, and, like, at the end they get married on the roller coaster.
No, I hate that.
People do that.
That's a real thing. It's awful, but it's a real thing.
Well, you know, yeah, you're not wrong. Oh boy. All right.
So let's talk about these.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Zach, what did you think of these?
I can't stop with Scream now. I completely forgot what mine was even about.
So mine was
yours was the old face.
Drew Barrymore dies, all the grandkids are reading her diary and they see like this.
I like how you specifically didn't make it too sexy for my benefit.
Yes. I realize that sometimes I skew a little raunchy, so
I mean, we did just finish the dildo movie,
It's called Iron Giant, Zach.
Sorry. Hashtag the dildo movie. That would be the I think yours is it's pretty good. I like that does seem sort of on brand for rom coms. Certainly, that is a good feel good across the generations. That's like get everybody in the seats kind of thing.
Seth, you brought up The Notebook before. I was cribbing hard. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I thought this, like, you said you didn't do a period piece. This is kind of a period piece.
Yeah, I could see, like, some dope-ass, like, 50s greaser wear and, you know,
Right.
Yeah.
So, the thing that it reminded me the most of is, and not to advertise for another podcast, but there's a podcast called My Dad Wrote a Porno.
Yeah, I listen to that sometimes.
Which is, it's pretty fun.
I figured it'd be just too kind blue of, for you.
Oh, you don't know me.
Oh boy.
But that's kind of what it reminded me of.
So. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, it seemed pretty good overall. Yeah.
Lee, what did you think of Zach's?
Well, shit. Now I forgot about Zach's too.
Yep. So mine's
the okay. Go ahead.
Everybody goes to the retreat, and they all married, but they switch partners, and then the happy ending somehow.
I liked yours a lot. I will say I'm gonna bring up my Peoria issues again. Are they really gonna be into the couple swapping in Peoria?
Yeah, that's a bit risque. That's fair. Mm-hmm. That's fair.
Sure.
Yeah.
It reminded me of the movie Couples Retreat.
About 3 seconds into writing this, I was like, "Ah, shit! I did that thing."
Is that what happens in Couples Retreat? Do they like?
No. Well, so in Couples Retreat, they all just like fall in love with their own partner.
Yeah.
They fall in love all over again. Yeah.
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 Or it's kind of like The Lobster.
Oh well, like considerably less weird, but yes.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Nobody turns into animals when they die, but yeah.
Yeah, you could add that in.
But no, I did really like yours, Zach. It felt like there was a lot of rom-com goofiness that could happen.
If anything, so this cast is so good, and I feel like I was trying to sort of highlight everybody. You know, like some of the other ones were like, oh, this guy comes in for 5 minutes as a dad or whatever. Uh-huh. But like in this one, everybody can sort of play their own role, you know?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That vaunted Matthew Lillard comedic timing, you know.
Oh well, Matty will star, obviously. Yeah. Like he will be very prominent.
We're not giving David Arquette the main comedic lifting. Fuck that.
Hell no. Yeah.
The advantage that this one has is that most of the actors are the same age, for once. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah, exactly. They could all plausibly date one another, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
No one absolutely has to be an uncle. Like,
Right.
Yeah, precisely. Yeah.
I wanted to throw Laurie Metcalf in there, but she didn't quite make the cut.
I love Laurie Metcalf.
I know, she's the best.
Isn't she just in one of the sequels, though?
She's in two. I think she... I don't know if she's actually in one. You might be right. Oh,
yeah.
She features prominently in two.
Well, yeah. Spoilers. Not alert, but yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Uh-huh. Lee, what do you think about Seth's? Scream. I mean, we covered Seth's a bit already, I guess.
What did you think of Scream?
Scream. Scream.
I don't really also remember it because I think I was laughing the whole thing.
Let me say this. let me say
God
this.
God damn it.
The title, for me, gave you first place. And then,
obviously,
the description of the movie, for me, gave you 0 points, if I could. And then, that last part where it's like, Scream, that gave you one. That gave you one.
Oh, that's a roller coaster ride. That's okay. Disgust.
And again, back to roller coasters, another option that he could have done.
Oh,
yeah, that's true.
So just in the sense of fairness, this is, you said Iron Chef, like, and then they all just kind of fuck each other, and then
the
punchline is Scream.
No,
there's it's like an hour and a half build up to the last line in the movie that's just Scream.
Oh God, in retrospect.
Yeah, that's true.
In retrospect, this should be my favorite one. It's an hour and a half.
No, this is perfect for you, Lee. This is exactly the bullshit that you love.
It's more like an ensemble cast where they each have their own little storylines
you lost me again. I wanted the whole thing to be a build up to one joke that's not funny.
Well, I mean, it kind of is.
I mean,
it's
I
just
think
six
it is.
Different storylines that do that.
Yeah,
that's fair. My God.
And like the careful watcher will notice how much whatever winner uses cream.
Sure. You'll be rewarded on repeat viewings for counting how many milliliters they use.
Certainly.
It's true.
The answer is 69.
Oh!
Oh.
Natch.
Nice.
Scream.
Well, alright. Despite Seth's sort of shallow investigation of the plot line in his movie, I'm perfectly fine giving him the W on this one.
Really?
I mean, in terms of the amount of laughs we had, I think he is the far and away winner.
I think I do have to concede that. Yeah, we did laugh the most. I mean, it's by far the least anything.
Yes, that's
true.
So yeah, the worst actual movie, the best in this context conversation movie.
Yeah.
Yes,
we did have the most fun talking about Seth's movie.
We did. Yeah.
Oh fuck that though, because that means Seth did it best again.
Well, yeah. It's
No.
Yeah. We're staying on brand.
Yeah. All right, Seth, you have to pick second place.
Yeah.
Okay, so I got Grandma McOldface, and I have The Lobster 2, right?
More or less.
I think it's a lobster prequel, but yeah.
Oh, okay, the Lobster 0.
Mm-hmm.
Lobster Year 1.
I mean, it would be even better if it were Lobster 2 Hyper Lobster.
Well, let's wait till episode 20. We'll see what happens, This is Lobster Origins. We'll get there.
First Blood.
Yeah, Lobster First Blood.
Lobster Origins First Blood.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The Rise of Xander Lobster Cage.
I think that I like Lee's better.
Right. Okay.
I like clearly like flashbacky sort of things and.
Yeah, I think Lee's would make a genuinely good movie. Like it. As far as rom-com, again, like, it's one I could actually picture, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, the final standings in that case, Seth with 7 points, Lee with 6 points. I happen to sweep second best in all of these.
good job, I guess.
And Zach with 5 points.
So Zach and I are just inconsistent.
Yeah, all over the place. Oh, man. Oh, yeah.
I mean, second place for all of my very obvious rom-coms feels right. Like, no rom-com is ever going to be the best movie ever. So.
Yeah, you actually won, I think. Yeah, you played the game the right way.
By being mediocre.
Yeah, you made 3 Katherine Heigl movies and probably like a couple $100 million, yeah.
Yeah, that's true. You will make the most money.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, all right.
Zach, what's happening next time?
Yeah, well, so I was going to say, this was a remarkable amount of fun for us. I hope everyone else likes it at least a little bit. I don't know.
Because I would love to do this in another 10 episodes. Yeah.
Yes, yep. Agreed. Yeah. Yeah, so that was our initial thought, is like every 10 we'll do a goof. And keeping these same movies, picking a different genre every time until we sort of run out.
Are we keeping the same movies? Oh, man.
That, I thought we were going to switch genres out there and pick new movies, maybe, or stay with rom-com. We can do this off mic, maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. Sure. How the sausage is made? Yeah.
You don't need sausage when you got a dildo.
Hey-o, iron. Yeah, gross. No, I can't. I can't.
Yeast infections, man.
It gets so rusty. You can't put it in the dishwasher. Ugh, it's terrible.
Scream. Use a sausage as a dildo.
You dip it in the. It screams. Scream. Yikes.
Well,
anyway,
for fans of our shorter episodes, this is just awful.
oh yeah, I thought it was gonna be real quick.
Yeah. Oh no. Yeah. A lot of banter.
Yeah. True.
Okay. So next week, episode 11, we're going back to a guest. This will be our good friend Eva, and she's coming in as inexplicably never seen The Goonies. So that should be a wild ride.
I have. I've heard a little of her brainstorming on this, and
yeah,
this one's gonna be a banger, guys.
Excellent.
Oh, yeah. Are there even any actors in The Goonies?
Yeah, man.
There's a lot of later actors that were then famous. I mean, they're all children in The Goonies, obviously.
Well, I mean, don't give it away.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
It's okay. She doesn't listen.
Okay, good.
Fair enough, yeah. The Goonies is, I mean, well, I think we talked about a bit of this, but I mean, The Goonies is very good. Like, it's going to be hard to compete with the actual Goonies.
I love that movie.
Yeah. Seth, not so much of that.
Scream boy over here doesn't, but...
Yeah, it's Scream.
By the way, we're going to make t-shirts, right?
Scream. Oh, 100%, yes. Yeah. 100%.
Just be our horrible faces.
No, on the front it says Scream. S apostrophe cream, and on the back it says, how much did you use?
No, on the front it says Scream, and on the back it says Iron Giant, and people are like, what? And we sell three of them to ourselves.
Oh, God. All right, we need to wrap this up. All right, so
to all
of our fans out there, thank you for helping us get to 10 episodes. And I guess fuck you, because we didn't listen to any of your feedback for this one.
That's true. We sure didn't.
Yeah, this is a real fuck you episode. That's true.
But I guess
thanks
until,
for sticking with us.
Yeah. Oof. Until next time, though, Seth... fucking did it best again.
God damn it. Seth empirically did it best. God damn it.
So, you guys, do you know how I did it best? Scream.
All right, the cut happens right there. We're done.
Yeah, exactly. Obviously, yes.